May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 543 to the tune Chester 455. Hymn 543, we will omit verses 2 and 3. Sorry, 3 and 4. Omitting verses 3 and 4. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod down from Adam's day to this. Jesus is the living way. All beside to ruin run. They are safe, and only they who are one in Christ their head. Jesus is a humble way. Pride and self must be brought down. Nothing like a beast of prey ever can in this way run. Hymn 543, omitting verses 3 and 4.
Jesus is the
from the the Lord help us to continue our reading in the book of Daniel, and this evening we will read chapter 5 in the book of Daniel. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold upon his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honour. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Again, we ask the Lord's blessing on his own word. May the Lord teach us how to pray. O Lord, through the multitude of thy tender mercies and thy long suffering and thy great goodness, we are favored to meet together in the house of God on this Lord's Day evening. We thank thee, Lord, for the Lord's Day, a day of rest from secular labour and responsibility, and a day of rest for our souls. Rest in the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord, to rest in thy faithfulness, in thy covenant of grace, and in all the precious promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ. We come before thee, Lord, feeling our great need, for we are in company, Lord, with thy poor and needy people. Yet we thank thee, Lord, that thy thoughts of love and mercy are upon thy poor and needy people, so that we are favored with thy sweet and blessed presence, feelingly, knowingly, from time to time. Oh, do favour us, Lord, on this particular Lord's Day evening, with the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Do favour us, Lord, and grant those tokens of thy favour. We would join with the hymn writer, show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born again and that my treasure is above. And then, Lord, do grant those that increase of faith and our hope to be revived, and that we might be refreshed in our souls, those seasons of blessing. Oh Lord, do grant the divine power of thy Holy Spirit to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, to reveal our own personal interest in thy finished work, Lord Jesus, that we have part and lot in the matter. Oh Lord, that we might know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have been chosen by electing love and mercy before the foundation of the world, and have been made manifest in this our day and generation. And do help us, Lord, to serve thee in our day and in our generation. For Lord, thy word is to a thousand generations. O Lord, one generation passeth and another cometh. The name of the Lord is praised. Help us, Lord, to render the praise due alone to thee for all thy mercies and all thy truth's sake. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name we would give the glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. We pray, Lord, that it may be with us as it was the two on the Emmaus road, when Christ made as if he would have gone further, but they constrained thee, Lord, and said, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And Lord, thou didst turn in with them. Oh, that constraining love for those two disciples. And may there be that constraining love, Lord, in our hearts to say in reverence to the dear Redeemer, it is toward evening, the day is far spent, and to constrain thee to enter the doors of this house and favour us as thou didst the disciples in the upper room. Peace be unto you. Oh, and know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that our hearts and minds might be stayed on Christ. For Lord, thou knowest the conflict that we know from time to time, the perplexities, the vexations, the distresses that we are subject to, the arch enemy of our soul, Satan, our malicious foe, who rejoices to see us sunk so low. But, O Lord, do come in thine appointed ways, and grant peace and quietness upon our spirit. For when thou, Lord, doth grant peace, who then can make trouble? And so, Lord, we pray to be spiritually edified today, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do bless, Lord, all the assemblies of thy saints, and those, Lord, of thy servants who have the gospel committed to them, this great responsibility committed to our trust. Help us, Lord, to exercise our hearts and minds in the deep things of God. Give that God-given ability to speak in thy great and holy name. May thy word come where thy dear people are. For Lord, I know not where they are, but thou dost know. Thou dost know our down sittings and uprisings, and thou knowest our thoughts afar off. But O Lord, may thy word have free course and be glorified, and thy word to come where each one is, and to pour in the oil and wine of the gospel. May thy word be, as it was with Jeremiah, sweet to our taste. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, may we rejoice, Lord, in thy word, more than those that take the spoils in battle. Come, Lord, and visit us with thy salvation. And now, Lord, do be with us each in our providential pathways, in our homes, as families, in the lawful responsibilities of life, which are again committed to our trust, that we might fulfill them in the fear of the Lord, to thine honour and glory, and for the good of thy people. And so, Lord, do be with us each, day by day. May we walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we have been called, with all lowliness of mind and spirit. Keep us humble and tender in thy filial fear. Save us from rebellion and murmuring and complaining. And may we be helped to commit all our way to thee, and to trust alone in thee, and thou hast promised to bring it to pass. Remember, Lord, why one church worldwide, especially the body of churches to which we are affiliated. And oh, do grant thy favour to rest upon the causes of truth. O Lord, we pray, and we pray especially now for thy cause and interest here at Maidstone. Be with the dear friends who continue in word and doctrine and faith and practice, who statedly worship thee in this house of God. We pray that thou wilt enable them to hold on their way. And grant, Lord, those signs following the preaching of the gospel. May there be those encouragements granted to them amidst the tribulations, the trial of faith, which thy people are subject to. For the Lord trieth the righteous. And so, Lord, do remember each one gathered here this evening, and those unable to be here who are caring for their dear children. And we think of our aged sister, Miss Beryl Ralph. Lord, be with her in her affliction. And do, Lord, grant that merciful appearing, and those things to be given and granted that will be for the good of her body. And Lord, may she be revived and renewed in body and strengthened and spared for a goodly season, if it is thy will. And so we pray in affection for her. And again we pray for our dear friend and brother here in office, and our dear friend and brother in the ministry. Lord, help them in their respective responsibilities and labours in the Church of God. May they both be given that wisdom and God-given ability and God-given help to fulfil that responsibility for the good of this cause of truth here at Maidstone. And so, Lord, do be with us each, and we thank of dear young George, who is away at university, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him in his studies and grant him good success and all needed help in his providential lodgings, that all may prove to be well for him and with him, and where he worships on the Lord's Day. And so, Lord, be with us each. Those unable to be here who may be using the facility that is at their disposal so that they can hear the service and join with us and be with us in spirit. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, dear Lord, do be mindful of us and remember us in our lowest state, for thy mercy endureth forever. We are exhorted to pray for the afflicted, the bereaved, the sorrowful, the sad, all the varied and diverse pathways of tribulation that thy people are subject to. We think of the family who have lost a dear son and grandson, so young in years. Lord, do grant to them that divine comfort, the comfort of thy Holy Spirit, who comforteth thy dear people in all their tribulations. O Lord, what a overwhelming calamity it is. But O Lord, thou art able to sustain beneath the heaviest load. And then we also think of the family of Mrs. Pont from Hanover Chapel, who has been taken from the body to be present with the Lord in the early part, the very early part of this Lord's day. And so, Lord, one after another are being taken. What a speaking voice it is to us, to be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Our nation, our government, our king, the countries of the earth, the conflict in the Middle East. O Lord, we know not hardly how to order our words before thee, but pray that thou wilt, for the elect's sake, for the kingdom of thy grace, that thou wouldest grow, Lord, that thou wouldest appear and deal with all these matters. For Lord, we rest upon thine eternal word. The Lord reigneth. And so, Lord, we commit all these things to thee. They are beyond us, but the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, Lord, do bless further the singing of the good hymns that we have sung already today, and grant that gracious continuance of the same, and all needed help in the preaching of the gospel, as we desire to ask, with the forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach on Tuesday. Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And next Lord's Day is also appointed for our monthly collection. The church meeting, which was to be held on Friday, has been deferred until week Monday evening at 6 p.m. Let us now continue by singing together hymn 239. June at Jory Wood, 8:27. The Lamb is exhorted repentance to give, that sin may be hated while sinners believe. Contrition is granted and God justified, the sinner is humbled and self is denied. All born of the Spirit are brought to repent. Free grace can make adamant hearts to relent. Repentance is granted, God's justice to prove. Remission is given, and both from above, from His love. Hymn 239, June Chorleywood, 827.
Yeah.
meet you in the Lord's gracious house. And your prayer for attention, dear friends, I would direct you again to chapter 4 in the book of Daniel. And we continue in verse 34 together with verse 35. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? How we need, dear friends, to, in our coming before the Lord, in the prayer and in preaching, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we may be exalted in due season. The sovereignty of God is displayed in the lives of his dear people, as the Lord brings them, according to whatever means he will use, to know the Lord. The Lord knows his dear people from all eternity. And when the Lord begins with one, then he unstops their ears and opens their eyes and gives to them a little measure felt upon their spirit of the greatness and glory of God. And that will bring us to our rightful place as before God. And as we mentioned and said this morning, this is what the Lord did for Nebuchadnezzar. And oh, we see the gracious effect of the sovereign power of God in his life. Power belongeth unto God. Doesn't belong to man. The sovereign power of God, dear friends, in his dealing with his people, is so wonderful to consider. Oh, nothing less than divine power will suffice. And the Lord brings to his dear people that realization as they are brought to see the vanity of the kingdom of this world and to know a little of the glory of the kingdom of God's grace, his dominion, his kingdom, the kingdom of his grace. Now, the kingdom of this world is so influenced by Satan, the god of this world. But, dear friends, the Lord has, always has and always will, a kingdom of grace on earth. And then when that work of grace has been completed, then they will go into the kingdom of glory. Well, Nebuchadnezzar then praised and honored him that liveth forever. He was brought to realize that God is eternal. Eternal, and that we on the earth are creatures of time, Because you see, whom he would, he slew, did Nebuchadnezzar. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, hardened, friends. What a word it is. Absolutely bound by the cords of pride. He was deposed from his kingly throne. He was removed from his office as king. That's what it means, deposed. Oh, friends, he had to be completely brought down. And he was. And then, in the light of this, he knew that God, the eternal God, who is our refuge, eternal God, we cannot comprehend fully eternity, because it has no beginning and no end. And our poor finite minds cannot comprehend it. But, we believe, by the gift of faith, that the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and that will have a sanctifying effect upon our spirit, because God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and we have a soul that must live forever. Oh, to live eternally, forever with the Lord. Oh, David could say, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And so, friends, our God is eternal. Now the idolatrous gods, small g, that were worshipped here by the king and the people, you see, they were not eternal. No, and in their ignorance, they worshipped really an unknown god. Like when Paul went to Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the people given wholly to idolatry, and he found an inscription where it was written, to the unknown God. Oh, the ignorance there was there in Athens when Paul went. Well was his spirit stirred in him, and then he preached Christ. And so, dear friends, the time of their ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead, the eternal Son of God, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. What is dominion? It is complete control, complete authority. The apostle could say, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. So a gracious character, although we're still sinners, through our federal head, sin does not totally and completely control our life. Doesn't have dominion over us. Because of grace. But where there's no grace in the heart, where there's no tender fear of the Lord, then sin has complete dominion over one. What a solemn sight to be in. Now, God, you see, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. God has complete control, complete authority. And I love the word that the psalmist wrote, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." God's dominion over his people, and it's throughout all generations, everlasting. This is the glory of God. It's everlasting. It's throughout all generations. Now, when you look at our little lives, how many generations can you remember? 3, 4 perhaps at the most. But what is that? What is that compared to 1,000 generations? Or from generation to generation. And so we see how dear godly Daniel, you see, this is spoken of. And when Darius wrote, following the wonderful deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den, the effect upon Darius, he wrote to all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." This wonderful deliverance. Now, you see, when Daniel was put into the lion's den, you see, what took place? Well, they commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel, the law of the Medes and Persians, which changeth not. Friends, this was completely void. This signature, this seal, it was thine. Because the king's heart was touched. And, you see, when he knew, he then gave commandment for Daniel to be brought out. Where was this purpose that might not be changed? You see, man's purposes, friends, even when they're sealed, what are they compared to God's power and dominion? They're vain and void. And the king, you see, forgotten all about his purpose that he'd made, and the seal it with his own signet. All of that was gone. All of that was vanished. It was vain, vain the seal, the watch, as we read in the singing the hymn, "Christ has burst the gates of death, Christ has opened paradise." And so we see how the Lord there, you see, Nebuchadnezzar taught him that God's kingdom is not like his, but it is eternal. And friends, the kingdom of God's grace, the kingdom of heaven, you see, it's eternal. The Lord gives grace some glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. A gracious soul, when they die, will go to glory. An ungracious character, when they die, will never go to glory. But a gracious character will, and they'll enter then into the eternal kingdom with God's everlasting love to be forever with the Lord. Now we see further the divine teaching that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a foundation stone, the eternal God of heaven and earth. His dominion is everlasting. His kingdom is from generation to generation. His doctrine. Here's Christ. And in the light of that, there he did say, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, included himself. He included himself. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He had a gracious understanding of God's majesty and power, and therefore he felt to be as nothing. Friends, do we know anything of it? This is grace. This is divine teaching. This proves that we know and feel upon our spirit, in some measure, more or less, the divine dominion of God's kingdom and grace and eternity. And this world is but for a time. And we, God's creatures, the inhabitants of the earth, are reputed. That means considered or deemed to be as nothing. Friends, are you willing to acknowledge that in yourself you are nothing, nothing, and yet all things in Christ? Now, the beautiful word concerning this is as Isaiah brings it before us, and we see the wonderful effect of the glory of God, and we see that not only ourselves but the nations, all nations before him, all nations before the Lord are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. These are the nations of the earth. To whom then will he liken God, or what likeness will he compare unto him? And he sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Friends, this is what we are by nature. We are nothing, and we are grasshoppers. And if we know the Lord and his sovereign grace and love and mercy, we will say amen to these things. You can't have anything more insignificant than a grasshopper. You can't have anything less than nothing. And friends, in and of ourselves, by nature, this is what we are. I know religious Pharisees will cavil at this, but a child of God won't. He'll fall under it, because he knows, compared to God, he is as nothing. And yet all in Jesus Christ. So, all the inhabitants, includes himself, And friends, this is a good sign, a blessed sign, because there are those that cast stones at another, think they're self-righteous, and they're high above other people, and yet they don't know the plague of their own heart. But the Lord teaches his dear people, and that teaching is sovereign. It is gracious. It's God-given. Everything, every good and perfect gift cometh down from heaven. It's given by the Lord. It's given. You've just sung, the Lord gives repentance. And he does. And then he gives forgiveness. So all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. This, of course, flows from the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And it is one of the holy doctrines of our faith. God is sovereign in all his dealings. The hymn writer said, did he not? Sovereign ruler of the skies. Ever gracious, ever wise. So, to be considered as nothing. And then the Lord doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And the word army, I needed the Lord to show to me the interpretation really of this word army in the army of heaven. Well, Revelations opens the door, the secret concerning this word, and if we do not have that clear understanding, then the Lord leads us to another scripture which then gives light upon the sacred page. Paul's, John's revelation of heaven. And he saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. This is the Lord Jesus. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now this is it. And the armies which were in followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. These are the redeemed people of God in heaven. These are they that came out of great tribulation. And they're spoken of the army which are in heaven. So, thy will be done, the Lord taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. It's a wonderful consideration, friends, that we have in the Holy Word of God a revelation of heaven. Oh, I've thought many times, what a wonderful, glorious revelation of heaven. John the Divine saw, and he's written concerning. And so when a dear one is taken, we can think of them in glory, and we know a little of the glory of heaven, being forever with the Lord, absent from the body, present from the Lord, to be with Christ, which is far better. So, the Lord does according to his will, his sovereign will. And friends, we are all subject to the Lord's will, because his will is amongst also the inhabitants of the earth, his world, and among the inhabitants of the earth. Now we're still upon the earth. We're still tabernacled in a body of flesh and blood. And so we must be graciously exercised concerning the Lord's will whilst we are inhabitants of the earth. His will. His eternal sovereign will. He acts according to his divine pleasure and his sovereign, holy, eternal will. And so it's related to his dear people here below. And of course, the divine fullness here is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus came into this world. And we read by prophecy concerning Christ, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So Christ came to do the will of God his Father, and he delighted to do it. And yet, he knew what that will consisted of. Suffering. Suffering. Oh, friends. And if we are amongst the people of God, we should know something of suffering for the Lord's sake. The Lord's sake. And so, the inhabitants of the earth are his will. His will concerning you, his will concerning me. And friends, that's vastly different to our will, our thoughts. Yes, we have our thoughts and our ways, but his thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. And man's will has to be conformed to the will of God. And it will be. Because, you see, the way of man is not in himself. No. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So, it proves that our times, our ways, are subject to the will of God. The Lord is the potter, and we're the clay. And he makes one the vessel to honour, and another to dishonour. It's the sovereignty of God. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated, who sold his birthright. Friends, these are profound depths. But it brings us to realise that we are subject to the will of God. Now, when is this really known? When one comes into the desolating experiences. When one comes into killing pathways. When one walks in deep affliction and wearisome pain and infirmities, when one passes through bereavement, the loss of dear ones, then, when all your words are swallowed up, whatever can one do? The only way to continue, the only way to endure, is believing fully into the will of God. It's God's will concerning me. Now God has a will concerning the salvation of his people. It comes to my mind there immediately as speaking, and Paul writing to the Ephesians, he speaks thus, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There is our salvation. God is working all things after the counsel of his own eternal will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. It's through the will of God, dear friends. Indeed it is. And therefore, as God, in electing love and mercy, it's his sovereign will, it's his good pleasure towards his chosen people. He loves them with an everlasting love. And therefore, their times, their ways are subject to the will of God. And that is what sustains a child of God in their deepest, deepest tribulations. Whatever that tribulation may be, as they submit to this divine authority, the authority of God, to bow before his will. He doeth, he doeth, he doeth, according to his sovereign will. Well, dear friends, well, the scripture testifies of many sovereign dealings with his people, and how when their words were swallowed up, they rested upon this foundation stone, the will of God. Look at dear David in the 39th Psalm. I was dumb with silence. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. He opened not his mouth. He was dumb with silence. Now with Job, we read the same in principle, but he says his words were swallowed up. Swallowed. It's the same, you see. But he submitted to that divine sovereign will. And to realize the power of Almighty God, that none can stay his hand or stop his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Because as the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, he doth not give account of any of his matters. No. No. God doth not give account of any of his sovereign dealings. But we have to submit to that authority. And faith believes this to be the way that we should walk. No one on this earth can stay God's hand. It is all powerful. It is sovereign. None can say unto him, what doest thou? Shall the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? And so we see, as Paul writes to the Romans concerning this, that these are the words he uttered. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, even for this same cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So, dear friends, we have to bow before the sovereign ruler of the skies. None, not one can stop the hand of God. Not one can say to him, "What doest thou?" Because he's sovereign. He does not have to give account of his matters, because he's God, and there is none else. There's been something else upon my spirit with regard to the meditation and ministry today, and that is the solemn state of Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. What a total difference there was. Now he knew all what had happened to his father. He knew all that he had passed through when he was deposed from his kingly office and throne, and there he was, his dwelling was with the wild beasts and so on. And yet, it didn't have any effect, sanctifying effect, upon Belshazzar at all. What did he do? He made a feast, a great feast, to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. And he drank out of the vessels that came from the sanctuary, the temple in Jerusalem, which would be used, as we consider it today, for the communion service. And he takes these, and with all his wives and his concubines, they then have this feast and use these vessels to drink out of. What sacrilege that was! And all what took place, to say, it had no effect. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this. The Lord's dealings, friends, with others, you see, has a sanctifying effect upon one. Those who are the Lord's. And you see, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? How unutterably solemn. Now Nebuchadnezzar did glorify God in the truths that he proclaimed concerning the deity of God, the person of Christ, as revealed by the Spirit. And yet his son, totally hardened in sin, had no effect upon him whatsoever. How unutterably solemn. And what was the writing? Mene, tekel, peres. Oh friends, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And friends, that writing was fulfilled, because in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. What a solemn, solemn, solemn end he had. No gracious effect upon him from that which took place in his father's life and heart. And may it be with us, dear friends, that the Lord's dealings with others, and those who may be that young lad taken so quickly, these things should make us ponder the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways. May we glorify God in these things, to have a gracious and good effect upon our spirit, that we might be humbled before the Lord, and before honour So the Lord honours one with his pardoning love, his forgiving mercy, his grace, his goodness, his great goodness. This is how the Lord honours his dear people. And the precious fruits of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the grace of God in their hearts. You see, this is the good and sanctifying effect. But this solemn character, Belshazzar, there was no effect graciously wrought in his heart. What a solemn, solemn end he had. Well, dear friends, may we know and submit to the divine authority and sovereignty of God. And then we can say, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. May the Lord own and bless his own word for the good of our spiritual profit and edification in our lives. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 114, hymn 114, June at Ghent, 34. The sons of earth delight to spread their fame abroad, to glory in their worth and might, but such are not of God. That's Belshazzar. The heavenly word declares, and faithful is the word that Israel's seed, the royal heirs, should glory in the Lord. His worth I love to tell, and wish the world to know, and where the Son is honoured well, the Father's honoured too. Hymn 114, June Ghent 34.
Contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in your minds. Now, Lord, do dismiss us with thy favour, granting journeying mercies in peace and safety. May thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen and amen.